Right, it is good to be with you this morning. As I say, normally based in Cambridgeshire, so it's Suffolk Week, if any of you have heard that term, which brings me here today. So the idea that one week in the year we focus on one of the four counties that the Eastern Baptist Association serves. And so I'm blessed to be with you this morning. And so Ruth is the book that you're focused on, and it's a book that I love. It's described as unique, not simply because it's focused on women in particular, and it's named after a woman, but it's the only, as it's described, the only book in the Bible named after a woman that's not from the community of Israel. So it's really interesting that she has, sorry, Ruth, is the name given to the book. Now, I mentioned Eastern Baptist Association, and that is one of 13 regional Baptist associations that collectively serve just under 2,000 churches across Britain, and comes under the umbrella organisation of the Baptist Union. And if you're familiar with the values that the Baptist Union adopts, if you go to the website, you may have heard that one of them is called Embrace Adventure. And so it's all about being serious about discipleship, trying to be more Christ-like each day. Once you've made that decision to follow the way of Christ, growing in that. It's about being willing to take risks, pioneer, move out of your comfort zone and familiar ways of doing things. And so, as I think about Ruth and our reading, chapter three that we've had, that sense of embracing adventure, taking a risk, is very much at the heart of the story and the reading today. I would say it's at the heart of the way God operates throughout the Bible. It's full of stories of people experiencing God on the move. So the community of Israel, individuals and collectively, we often read about in the Old Testament, were often on the move to different lands, experiencing God as they experience different landscapes and scenery. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine if we've not been into those places. As they journeyed from place to place, that's the story of Naomi and her family and Ruth being caught up in that story. Part of their journeying as a community of Israel would have been to worship, as we know through the story, to find the promised land and so on and so on. And so as we hear their story, in particular focus on Naomi and Ruth, perhaps the question for us is, if we too want to encounter God, to what extent should we expect that we are likely to do so in part by also being on the move? How does that make you feel as I say that? Ooh. For some of us, exciting. For others, not so sure. Being on the move will look different for us, different to the context that Ruth and Naomi found themselves in. If we think of walking and riding donkeys and so forth in their time, in their space, for us, I confess I don't know much about rural Suffolk, but I'm sure that riding donkeys isn't the main way people get about. Car, train, bicycle. I saw some good cyclists on the way, you know, really enjoying themselves as I drove here this morning. Even flying, depending on where life takes us. So that's how we will find ourselves on the move. And sometimes when we think about what it means to be on the move, sometimes it will be for particular journeys. Some of us might go on retreats where we were sort of trying to get away, finding quiet space to connect with God, encounter God. We might think of it in terms of our daily adventures, and a sense of God calling us to a particular place for a particular time to do a particular thing. For some of us, it may be a particular job. We may find ourselves working with a particular community. But I hope as I share these thoughts, we're beginning to think about being on the move and encountering God and trying to find some correlation with the experiences of Ruth and Naomi. So, Ruth and Naomi, for Naomi, if we start with her, it's interesting because she's left her homeland, Bethlehem, to go to this foreign land because there's famine. It comes full circle. She's gone back this time, as I say, with her daughter-in-law, Ruth, who has, as I'm sure you've read already, has been incredibly loyal in seeking to follow Naomi. Now, it's never an easy decision to leave family, friends, what's familiar behind. That sense of leaving home. And what do we mean when we say home? What do we think of when we say home? Home often describes the patterns, the routines, the rhythms, the shape of life that gives meaning to our lives. It's what makes us feel rooted. And living life when we don't feel rooted is very challenging indeed. Things like food, drink, how we greet each other, clothes we wear, how we relate to each other, our language, our music, time zone, all play a part in what feels like home for us. And so to set out on a journey knowing that you're going to be in an unfamiliar place where these things that are comforts to you will not be there, and with uncertainty as to how you'll cope when you arrive at destination, is hard. Ruth and Naomi have made that move. And during the season of harvest, it's interesting because we're in that kind of season now, aren't we, here in the UK? They've been getting by on the idea of gleaning the scraps that are left over as the farmers and assistants pick the crops, what's left over. That's what they've been surviving on. But as the harvest season draws to a close, the reality sinks in for Naomi and Ruth. The reality of being widows in that time, in that context as women, meant that they were very vulnerable indeed. Property rights were so much wedded to men in that patriarchal society, in that culture. And so the way forward, Naomi knew, was a husband for Ruth. And so we have this interesting scenario playing out in our reading of Naomi telling Ruth to have a bath, put on a nice clothes, put on perfume to try and catch the attention, to pursue Boaz. I heard Ben mention this idea of the family redeemer coming into play. That was the idea. That is how Naomi, Ruth, through that family unit, the promises as to who would marry who, again, quite hard for us to get our head around in our context, was the way forward for them, where they would get provision. And they were trusting God to ensure this would work out. But it's a huge risk. It's a huge risk for Ruth. Going to a place where there was a man she was not married to, where she was going to, as we see, be in his quarters. The risk to her reputation, if it got out, hence he says, as the story on plays, make sure you're not seen. He tries to ensure she's not seen. She's also put a huge amount of trust in Boaz, that he's not going to, or one of the other men perhaps who might have seen her, not going to take advantage of her, do her harm. Again, in that context, it's really challenging. So it's a huge, huge risk. And a spoiler alert, it works out. It's a risk that works out. But again, thinking about yourselves, this community that I've been hearing about so much of. I don't know you as a congregation. I don't know Framlingham. I barely know Suffolk. But I wonder, what are the plans that you have in mind? What are the things that you are working through, the future you're looking towards? And is God calling you to take a particular risk? Is that on the horizon for you? We don't know the detail of how Ruth and Naomi prepared for the risk that Ruth was going to take. All we know, as I said, is that she prepares herself physically in terms of having a bath, the perfume, and the clothes. But What were the conversations that were taking place? What did they say to each other? What did they do? The words, the rituals that helped prepare her, other than the outside appearance preparing of that. We just don't know the detail. What we do know from the community of Israel is that through the book of Psalms in particular, we know that the community often said prayers, they sang songs, prepare and sustain them, often when they were going on journeys. There are particular psalms that are referred to as psalms of the ascent, which talk about the community of Israel making their way on pilgrimage to the temple for worship, for festivals. So we can begin to imagine some of the kind of rituals and things that they did and shared, but we don't know for sure. We do know about rituals and words that we share as church, as followers of Christ, as things and times have developed. I wonder, what are the things that come to mind as I say that? When someone is starting something new, taking a significant step, taking a step towards the beginning of a new chapter, how does the church prepare them? What does the church do? You might think of baptism and membership classes. Who here has experienced those kinds of classes as you prepared for baptism and church membership? I remember it. For me, it will be 24 years ago, 22nd of October, is when I was baptized in the year 2000. But I remember those preparation classes well, preparing me for making that public declaration that I was going to follow the way of Christ, the ways of Christ, seek to grow in my relationship with Christ, my Christ-likenessness for the rest of my life. Preparing me for the old life that I was going to leave behind. And then the baptismal service itself, when I made the promises, when I gave my testimony and I was prayed for, all of that was part of that preparation of taking that risk, that step. I had no idea 24 years ago where that would take me. I am so grateful that I took that step and the way life has worked out for me. I'm thankful for the preparation. Some of you might think about marriage ceremonies. And I'm not married, but I have had the privilege of conducting marriages and doing marriage preparation classes, which are always fun. And again, the ceremony itself, the promises that people make as they're prayed for, all part of that preparation. Thinking about my role now as a regional minister, it's that season of ordinations and inductions. I've already done some. Next weekend, I will be doing another, and the weekend after, another. In those services, we're helping to prepare ministers and churches for these new chapters in their lives. It's really important. So as we think about what God might have to say to us through the story of Naomi and Ruth and that massive risk that Ruth takes, and we think of that relevance for us today, ponder the preparation that you've had for the big steps in your life journeys individually, but also as a community, as a church. I don't know the history of this church, but have you always worshipped in this school place? No. How were you prepared in that journey as you took that risk of moving from where you are to here? I say again, I don't know the plans that God has for you as you look to the future. What I do know as I come here is I see lots of signs of vibrant life. Children, young people, people of all ages, all backgrounds. And I have a sense that this community is really important for a lot of people in this place. I also imagine, from my experiences of working with churches in Cambridgeshire, there are some challenges as well along the way. And I wonder if you're pondering how you'll navigate some of those challenges. I want to encourage you to think about how you will mark and prepare for any risks that you take in the future, whatever they may be. I think this is the joy when you come to a place where you don't know it, because you're all sat there and you may be thinking, well, I know what's laying ahead, but I don't know. Preparing for it is a huge part of it. And I see in my role where it can go horribly wrong when the preparation isn't undertaken. I also see the real joy when it is. Those ordination services I mentioned earlier, I meet what have been ministers in training, often for 3 years in a Baptist college, coming to end of their training or formation, we often refer to it as ministers. And the ordination service is so important for them often to feel like ministers, fully fledged ministers. For some of them, they can feel almost intimidated at the prospect. I had a conversation just this week with someone who's finished their training and just struggling with this idea that they are a minister and this is their calling for the rest of their life. It's those promises they make, the words that family, friends, other local ministers declare over them, the meaningful songs they choose and are sung, the sermon that's given, that's often referred to as the charge that is given, the challenge that is given, preached and rooted in scripture. It's amazing how it helps them make that transition. What about parenthood, for those of you that have experienced that? I've had the privilege of dedicating children to God, blessing them. And again, it's seeing how parents, new parents, how they say that those services help them as they get their heads around that call to parenthood that God has blessed them with. I'm not a parent, but I'm an auntie. And I have seen close hand the journey of my brothers as they've experienced it, the huge responsibility it is. I've got to the stage now, as I think of my niece, the first very newborn baby that I held. She's 30 in October, my goodness. But I remember holding and feeling a spine. And I remember saying to my brother and his wife, and my mum was there as well, grandma, proud grandma, saying, "I can feel her spine." It was just incredible just how gentle, also how fragile she felt in my hands. But seeing that journey. So these services, I'm just imparting this morning. That's my sense. Preparation, thinking about ceremonies, rituals, words that will be important for what lays ahead for you, and not rushing through them, taking the time to do them well, laying the foundations which will bear fruit further down the line. The thing about life is it is a journey and it will involve taking many risks. And part of our challenge as Christians is saying yes to God, as God challenges us to do things differently, go on the move, different places, sometimes stay where you are, but just doing things differently, taking on a new role. It may not always end up also as we hoped or planned it to. So yes, I've told you these stories of these ceremonies, these rituals. I've had the privilege of facilitating, leading for many people over the years, hasn't always ended well. Sometimes marriages end because things don't work out. Sometimes a spouse dies earlier than anyone could have anticipated. Sometimes the child that you've dedicated to God doesn't end up following the way of Christ. Sometimes the ministers that I induct in new churches, their length of time at that church is shorter than they ever imagined. In those moments, often what I try and help people do is refer back to those ceremonies, those rituals, the wordings. It's amazing how often it brings a sense of comfort to people, because often those words, those rituals are very real in preparing people for the uncertainty. Marriage vows, you know, in sickness and in health and so forth. Till death do us part. you go back to those promises, and people are reminded why they made those promises in the first place. And they're reminded that it was worthwhile taking the risk, even though it didn't work out sometimes as they hoped or planned it to be. Thinking of ministry, the same with ministers. You know, I've ministered in a number of churches. As I say, I've helped ministers in other churches. I wouldn't change a single aspect of where I have served, even though at times it was incredibly challenging. Because the sense of God calling me to those places and to those people remains. And the learning and the growing that I have done through those ups and downs has been significant. Had things not worked out for Ruth in that way, there's that sense of trust I hope Naomi and Ruth would have had in God, that God would have provided in another way. And that is taking us back to where we started. Embracing adventure, taking a risk, saying yes to God. As I say, 24 years ago, 22nd of October, I mark that. I am so glad I said yes to God on that journey. Has it always been easy and perfect? No. But experiencing life with God, nothing beats it. That song we sang earlier, All I Want's Held Dear, always hits me. Because for me, it's such a song that reminds me of making that transition from someone who believed in God in a vague sense, because I grew up in a Christian family, but hadn't committed my whole life, my whole being to following the way of Christ until I made those baptismal vows and so forth, and how my life changed and transformed. And that song reminds me of that. So I encourage each of you this morning to prepare for what God has in store for you individually and collectively as community. Prepare for saying yes to what God has in store for you, and ensure that preparation involves coming before God, whether that's as part of this whole community. Depends on where God takes you and how it will take what form it will take. But just ensure that at least two or three of you are gathered, as we're reminded God is there with us. But just making sure that you bring God into the equation, every aspect of what you're doing. It sounds really simple, but how often do we forget to do that? Just recently, 31st of August, I had the privilege of offering prayers of blessing to a young couple that were married in London. So the groom I knew when he was a student in Cambridge. So that's where I used to be, a local church minister. And I met him when he'd arrived in the country from West Africa within days. It was February, it was freezing, and he had no idea how cold it was going to be. And he was shivering because he didn't quite have the clothing, and just the culture shock was enormous. We happened to be next door to campus, and it was the first church he tried. I ended up baptizing him a few months later and journeying with him. He left Cambridge to work, and then returned briefly before moving to Peterborough, where he is now. So this, when I met him, oh my goodness, 2017, if I've got my maths right. So that's what, 7 years ago. And so I've kept in touch. We've kept in touch along the way. And he introduced me to his fiance this summer. And they sat at my dinner table, and we had wonderful conversation as I was trying to discern what this union might be like. Because first time I'm meeting her, I was pleasantly surprised and loved her instantly. And then they explained that they were having a civil ceremony for a number of reasons. And then I was asked whether or not I would offer prayers of blessing at the reception afterwards. A couple that recognized that actually this step of marriage, even though they needed to have a civil ceremony for a number of practical reasons, God needed to be at the center right from the beginning. God alone knows where their journey will take them, but I know they've laid the right foundations. It was a joy to pray over them and to celebrate with them. Sadly, I come across a number of other younger people that embark on relationships that don't do that from the beginning. And they go through ups and downs, like all couples do, but without that root, that foundation, that preparation. The likelihood of them being tossed from side to side is far greater. It was a joy to be in that space, to be part of a community. I was actually sat next to the Roman Catholic priest. So the bride is from a Roman Catholic background. And we sat together throughout the reception. And it was a joy at the end to be parting and recognizing just how many people were looking out for them and praying for them as they set out on this adventure and took this risk. So that's my prayer this morning for each of you, as I said, individually and collectively. We'll say yes to God as you discern God-given ways for you. Prepare well. Continue to journey with one another as you will discover the Naomi and Ruth story continues. No more spoilers. And that God will use you mightily in building his kingdom here in Framlingham, Suffolk, and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.